Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio and joined by Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. Good evening, gentlemen. You guys ready to talk some motorsports?
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, we got a great show. We are fired up because we got lots to talk about. We're going to talk some Formula One. Actually, quite a bit of Formula One. We're going to talk about Ferrari's Superfast engine for 2021. Codename Superfast. We're going to talk a little NASCAR, a little IndyCar, the Rolex 24 Daytona. We got the Roar next week and the Rolex 2 weeks from now. So we're going to talk about that. Lots more stuff all the way up and down the gamut. And I think I want to start with a little Formula One. In fact, let's start with that Ferrari super fast engine. Jonathan, you're the one that wanted to talk about this. I dug into the technical details. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, in January, there's not too many great stories going around. Once you've had Marzipan and you've had Vettel settling in, and you've had a few other stories like Haas building monoliths in Maranello, really not a lot going on. So I thought this was an interesting story because the Achilles heel, to use my education, for Ferrari last year was definitely a draggy car, as they described it, and a low-powered car. And the reason for that was they got done in 2019 for, quote-unquote, pushing the envelope, shall I say. I won't use the words that sounds like a fast cat in the jungle. They weren't doing that, but you could say they were pushing the envelope a little.
Yeah, and what they were doing was basically burning more fuel, and they were kind of tricking the system. And what the FIA did was essentially drop in another fuel flow meter in line. So they had two different fuel flow meters to measure the difference. And so they were able to get a more accurate reading.
Can you expand a little bit? Because it was a bit cloak and dagger, because what happened, just to give the backstory, Ferrari met with the FIA over the winter before the 2020 season was due to get underway. So it was the big story going into the Australian Grand Prix that never happened, as it were, when COVID hit. And the bottom line is they did a deal with the devil. The FIA sanctioned or sorted the problem out, but didn't go public with it, which was kind of a little bit annoying, to be honest, because we never really got the story. So just you know, pan that out a little bit and say what you think they were doing.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to say, on the surface, it says when you have 2 meters, you're just measuring twice and cutting once, if you will. So how did it improve the performance, John?
Well, what they were doing was with 2 meters, you get a more accurate measurement, right? So with just one, they'd figured out how to basically game the system. And look, and I'm just talking about what I guess, right? I don't know if anybody knows outside.
No one knows. No.
Outside the circus knows. So what they've done is they've just essentially limited or made it more accurate. So, I mean, look, we all know, all you do is add more fuel and you can make more power. And the estimated power loss was at least 50 horsepower. So that puts you 80 horsepower down from Mercedes. And, you know, in the thousandth of a second world of Formula One, 80 horsepower is huge and 50 horsepower is huge. But going back to your question, Jonathan, essentially they were able to burn more fuel and now they have cracked down on that. But the changes that they're going to make for 2021 are going to, hopefully, in their mind, is bring them back up as close to they were as in 2019 when they were really fast. In fact, you know, we could argue they had the fastest car in a lot of the straightaways in 2019.
Mm. So how are they going to do that in 2021?
So they have, you know, again, this is obviously just best guess, right? So they are going to, they're saying right now they're going to have some more efficient combustion chambers, starting with a new piston, which is going to give them more essentially compression ratio, as we all, you know, gearheads, the in the most rudimentary level, we all understand that, but essentially more compression in the cylinders and a better flow from the intake valves. And this is really rudimentary, is about all I can say. And I'll say also, they're talking about using a smaller turbine in the MGU-H to improve its battery charging capabilities. So, mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. That could be a big one. If you had more hybrid power, more of the time is probably what I should say, because it's not going to give them more horsepower from that, or more torque, more importantly, more, is that they're going to have the opportunity to use it more, right? So it's going to give them better battery charging. So that can make a big deal, right? If you've got, you're not waiting on it to recharge, you know, which you can use up all that power and then you got to wait for it to recharge. If you can recharge it faster than the other teams, that's a big advantage. So they're doing those two are the big ones, right? Just making the engine more efficient with higher compression, better flow, and then this better charging battery on the MGUH. And so
right.
Both of those added up, I mean, maybe you get your 50 horsepower and more, especially in certain parts of the track with more hybrid power.
My expectation in that, for one, just that Binotto's gone and there better be an improvement at Ferrari. This was probably started, you know, some time ago, you know, in how they were going to use it. They knew they were going to be faced with the changes, and they did for last year. But quite honestly, I mean, I love my Ferrari brethren out here around Central Texas, but I can't say there were a whole lot that were really just charged and enthusiastic about how well they were doing on the track. So we've got more of the power unit. If you're collecting the charge more so, hopefully you'll have more of the charge. You can leave the corners faster is really where that is most astounding, is acceleration and pulling away out of the corner. Do you think that is what it's actually going to translate to, John?
I think that's the first thing you think of when you think of the hybrid power, is pulling out of the corners, right? You know, accelerating, because that's what the hybrid power is so good at, because it has torque at any RPM. It has max torque at any RPM. So just like all the electric cars, that's why all the electric cars are so fast, or so quick, I should say, from 0 to 60 or whatever, because they have it all available at all the time. You know, you don't have to spin it up like a combustion engine. But yeah, that's the simple explanation. And I mean, look, I wanted to start with this tonight because it could be a game changer up and down the grid. Number one, it could make it a three-car battle again at the top with Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. And, you know, look, let's face it, if Ferrari does a good job, our American team, Haas F1 team, will have more
power. What I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the most exciting thing to me about this, besides after the more competitive, having three cars battling for every race. And look, we don't know. You know, every year, that's the beautiful thing that you taught me many years ago about Formula One, Jonathan. You know, you say, are you an expert in Formula One? Well, I was for last year, but this
year. I was 6 months ago.
Yeah, but this year, it's going to be totally different, right? Yeah. To be an expert in Formula One, it just means you know that it's constantly changing, right? So,
yeah.
But what Texas I'm hoping... Weather.
Can I ask another... While we're in boffin mode, can I ask another question for either of you? In the article that I got this from, which was Autosport in the UK, one of the paragraphs read, it was basically explaining how Ferrari has gone about getting this more power. But it said, it's understood that Ferrari did evaluate a change of concept in going down the Mercedes route of splitting the turbine and compressor to sit either side of the internal combustion engine. Can you explain why Mercedes do that and what would be the advantage that Ferrari didn't go that way?
Oh man, it's a revolutionary change that Mercedes did in Turbo World, right? So turbos are driven by exhaust gases, right? And exhaust gases tend to be hot, let's just say. like, you know, essentially the hottest part of the engine. You've seen, how many times have you seen an exhaust header glowing red, right? So whatever, 2000 degrees centigrade or whatever it is at max, and that's probably not that hot. That would probably melt it, but crazy hot, right? And so you, and what you don't want on your intake side, you don't want a hot air going into the engine because you, it's less dense. You don't make as much power. It causes pre-ignition. There's on and on and on the negatives of having hot air going into the engine, right? So in a turbo, when you've got those two turbines next to each other, it transfers the heat very easily. It's basically one big chunk of metal, right? It's like the opposite of a heat sink. Well, what Mercedes did was split it and put it on opposite sides of the engine. It was so simple and so brilliant. And, you know, this goes all the way back to, what, 2014 or whatever. But it was just one of those.
Well actually, I'll say for the Mercedes Formula One, it goes back that far. As I understood and I learned some time ago, and there was an article that said that this was actually a design of a diesel motor long ago that first had that, and that it was not easily serviceable and things. And there were some other kind of mechanical related items from servicing it, why they got away from separating the impeller and the compressor. But you're right. The cold air discharge is an advantage to it. And if you're going to be tearing down that motor, you're going to be getting into the power unit every couple of weeks. It's probably not too much of a deal there.
Every manufacturer that uses a turbo smacked their forehead and went, why didn't we think of that? Everybody did. But that's it, Jonathan. They were considering that. Apparently that was an interesting part of the article, I thought, too, is that they were considering going down that path. That would have been a game changer, but probably too complex to do in a short period of time. So that's probably why they chose not to do that. Well, the rest of this article, I looked at several different articles all over from Autosport, Motorsport, all over the place, trying to piece this thing together. And apparently it was kind of a leaked memo or something is where this all came from. But I mean, the bottom line is, let's just hope that Mercedes has some competition from Ferrari next year. Well, look, it's time for our first break. Let's do that. We got lots more to talk about. And let's give out the phone number in case anybody wants to call in. 512-643-5483. 512-643-LIVE. If you want to call in and join the conversation, you're listening to Speed City Live in Austin. Back after a quick break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Roger Hayden, Factory Yoshinori Suzuki. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I think what I want to talk about next is Grosjean. This story about Grosjean and some rumors. The rumor mill is created.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of things about Grosjean. You know, they're talking about the Indy season for 2021. The thing that piqued my ear originally was that AJ Foyt was mentioned in the same sentence. I loved that idea, but it's really probably not going to happen there. He is still considering the 24-hour Le Mans race was one of the things I saw there. Kind of excited, but then again, no. What we're looking for is really just to get him settled and engaged into another racing series is what I want. Mm-hmm. And so anyway,
hey, I love it.
Dale Coyne Racing is where he's landing his feet. I'm excited for that. It's a good team, good history there, but you know, like,
and will he do the full season?
Final details yet to be confirmed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a deep end to start doing ovals. Yeah, I mean, he could probably do a partial season with Dale Coyne because they are a small team and you know, wet his feet in terms of it. But I think he would have a lot to offer, as have the other Frenchmen in Indy. And I think Grosjean's at an age and a time where, you know, he's as sharp as a tack right now. And look what Rossi did in a very short space of time. You've got to think that Grosjean is either higher up that ability level in terms of experience,
right,
or equal to. You know,
if we get Grosjean, that'll
it's
be
still speculative.
Rossi,
as
Ericsson.
Far, it's still speculative as far as how far he's gone. But Dale Coyne Racing, apparently there's some pretty strong indicators that's who he's working with now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not finalized. But if he comes in, we'll have ex-F1 drivers. We'll have Alexander Rossi, Marcus Ericsson, Takuma Sato, Sebastian Bourdais, all that would be, you know. I don't know how many ex-F1 drivers we've ever had at one time in IndyCar, but that's a lot. So, hey, guys, we got a caller on the line. We have Adam on the line. Hey, Adam, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys.
Adam, do we have you?
Yeah. Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. There we go. Oh,
yeah. So this is probably like 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, you guys were talking about electric cars, and it kind of got my wife and I talking. So you all have heard probably the oft-quoted statistic that an open-wheel car can drive upside down.
Sure.
They have enough downforce that they can drive upside down. But we all know that doesn't work because the engines won't run upside down. So here's our idea.
Electric.
You take the Joker lap from Rallycross and you throw that into Formula E, except they have to do a loop-de-loop like a Hot Wheels track.
Oh, I like that, Adam. I see. How much have you and your wife had to drink by this point?
Not much.
That's a.
And this wasn't the first time you've spoken to her in a while, was it?
No. The racing in Formula E has been great, and I like the little offline push to pass thing they have. I wish the tracks were a little bit more interesting to look at, but the racing's very close. And I thought, you know, it's about the pinnacle of motorsport. Just go ahead and throw a loop-de-loop in there.
Don't let Jonathan discourage you. Don't let him discourage you.
Exactly, Adam. Don't take any notice of me. I'm just a rude Englishman.
And, you know, this would kind of fit in my mind the way Formula E has, you know, embraced the crazy or the different or whatever. Why not? I mean, you talk about getting some eyeballs.
Well, and you could have a big round billboard in the middle for advertising as they went round.
See, now, see, there's the brilliance of Jonathan Green right there. He's
brought to you by Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels, of course. You,
Hot Wheels, the natural sponsor.
Travis Pastrana. Yeah, Travis.
The
was,
evil Knievel yeah. turn.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, Adam, what's what else you been paying attention to in motorsports this week?
It's, you know, it's been kind of a quiet week on the Formula One subreddit. I actually hopped on there right before I called you guys just to see if anything interesting is happening. I am looking forward to the virtual Grand Prix coming back.
Yeah.
I know F1 has announced that, so I'm looking forward to the quartet of Lando and George, Alex and Chuck hopping on streaming again.
That was great.
That was one bright spot. That was one bright spot from the beginning of the season when we weren't sure we were going to get anything at all. Watching Chuck and George play truck driving simulators together was a hoot. So I'm
hey,
looking
Adam,
forward to that.
Tables and ask you a question.
Yeah.
What there's quite a few driver lineup changes for this year. Which particular combination are you looking forward to? Whether it be Alonso coming back, whether it be Sainz at Ferrari. Or Ricardo?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm just such a diehard McLaren fan that Danny and Lando.
I'm excited for you then.
Yes. Dando is my wife's a huge Daniel Ricciardo fan, and I'm a big McLaren fan. So, one, this is going to make watching the race weekends a lot easier for us because we can root for the same team. And then I just, you know, I think they're going to be funny together.
Sure.
I am cautiously optimistic this year for McLaren because I think the switch to Mercedes power may take them a year to get used to. They're not going to pick it up the first year like I think everyone's hoping for. But with the regulation changes, maybe after that, they'll have a really good season. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see Seb and Lance at Aston Martin because I think maybe some of the pressure of not being at Ferrari we'll get back to seeing the Seb that we liked at Red Bull. So
that's a good point.
We love Fred. I have a sticker of Fernando on my Focus RS. So
nice.
We're excited to see him back at Renault. I will say that was the one bit of F1 news that just popped in my mind. With Cyril out at Renault, I think any team midfield on down would be crazy not to snatch him up after dragging Renault back from. You know,
I agree.
P5, P6 in the championship to regularly getting podiums. It's a crime if he doesn't get another team principal job.
I'm glad you said that, Adam, because that we're going to talk about that tonight. Because I know Davide Brivio from MotoGP. Well, we all do because MotoGP comes here. And we obviously cover bikes as well. And he's now in the mix. But Cyril Abatibol, like you said, did a hell of a lot for Renault. Was, you know, and it's a strange story because the story came out in this way, which was Davide Brivio is coming from MotoGP to Alpine Renault. And Cyril Abatibol will take a management job, an upper management job in Renault headquarters, but will remove himself from the Alpine racing team. Now, what's happened is Cyril's gone. Brivio is in, and there's been a shakeup within Renault. So it's a very, I'd like to get to the bottom of it because there's more to this story and we're not hearing the whole full story. And I agree with you. Cyril would be a real add to any Formula One team.
Yeah, I'd like to see somewhere like, Williams or Haas. Maybe Cyril get in and fire Mazepin. That would be a good start. Like Haas or Williams or Alfa Romeo, Sauber, they're going to be Sauber to me forever. Maybe they pick him up and, you know, he has that kind of magic touch.
Hey, Adam, thank you for calling. But before you go, how much boost are you running on your Focus RS?
Oh, stock boost. I haven't messed with it at all. It's got a skid plate mud flaps.
Well, that's really embarrassing. I'm sorry.
Hey, Adam, I do have a different question for you, though, because I know you've been following things. People keep lobbying ideas for the second fixed Formula One race or the second Formula One race in the United States. What's your vote?
They built a purpose-built track in the back in my backyard in Kentucky. That would be great for me. But, you know, I don't know. I would love to see. I know Laguna Seca is too short for F1 cars. They'd be sub one-minute laps. I would love to see Indy. That was my very first Formula One race was at Indianapolis, and it was 2006. I missed the tire debacle by 1 year. Funny story, I would have gone to the race in 2005, except on my way, I had a blowout on my rear tire.
Oh, that is ironic.
Yeah, and being young, I had to limp it home on a spare because I couldn't afford to buy a tire. I had to get my parents to pay for it when I got home.
Well, Adam, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it, buddy.
Before you go, I've definitely got this. We can work on this together off air, but I think the Kentucky Dando Derby. I can see this happening.
So Kentucky men's basketball, our other passion, has had fantastic luck with Australians, as well as our football team. They've had Australian punters come and be their kicker. So we would love to have Daniel come visit Kentucky. I'm sure we could find him a horse to ride.
Honey Badger loves a glass of bourbon now and again.
There you go.
Well, and I have put in the application for him to become a Kentucky Colonel. I myself am a Kentucky Colonel, and I'm hoping I can pull it off. It takes some time, but I may need some help getting the certificate to him.
we'll assist wherever we can.
You know somebody.
Adam, thanks a lot, buddy.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate
it.
Speak you soon.
All right. So
he's good value. I like Adam.
I know he's good. He's fun. Thanks for calling.
You know, we've heard Ricardo's Texas accent. What's a Kentucky accent going to sound like from Ricardo?
Oh my gosh.
There's value right there.
Yeah.
Hey, Jonathan, let's talk about what you were talking about with Adam. Vatterbowl. I mean, when they did the announcement about Rivio, I mean, it was like Cyril was just, he just disappeared. It was completely silent, all that. I was like, what the heck happened?
Well, and also, it was a big shock to the MotoGP community because he's been a stalwart of both World Superbikes and MotoGP for many years now. Lovely guy. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Yeah, I mean, it was completely out of the blue. And, it must have been a pretty ugly discussion internally. When you think, when nothing's prepared and nothing comes out quickly, you think something really happened, internally to mess it all up. So
I think promises were made and promises weren't kept. And Cyril went, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's what usually happens in that corporate kind of thing.
Yeah. Hey, you also put in a little story about the driver gap at Aston Martin that they must address in 2021, Jonathan.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. I mean, obviously, as you know, Vettel and Stroll together, it'll be interesting to see how they gel. The good thing for Vettel is he won't feel the same threat immediately that he did with Charles Leclerc. And I also don't think the team will close ranks for obvious reasons, the way they did at Ferrari around Leclerc. And what I mean by that is Stroll's a good kid. We know him. His dad owns the team. I don't think he's going to be left out in the cold. And I think the whole idea of bringing Vettel in is to nurture this kid who is dad's, is the owner of the team's protege and has been, since Doc. So I expect a decent working relationship with them. Vettel's also bought shares in Aston Martin, so he is invested. I like that. It's a very new model for Formula One. So, yeah, but then again, are they both going to have to up the game for the new look Aston Martin?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, speaking of Aston Martin, what do you guys think of, I want to ask you guys what you think of this new livery for the Alpine. I'm just trying to get it to load here.
Well, it's a winter livery. They call it. They didn't say it was going to be black. So,
yeah, that's true. This is an interim winter livery display. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. That's what I was looking at going.
I'll say I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got enough of the dark colors, but it is cool looking. I really do like the livery, the way it's got, and the
vertical stripes back, making the A at the back around the dorsal fin.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Finally got it to load again. All right. Well, hey, we need to take up another break. Let's do that. And when we come back, we'll have the continued discussions. Listen to Speed City live from Austin back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Magnus Walker, greetings from downtown LA, and thanks for tuning in to Speed City. Keep Austin weird and get out and drive, pedal to the metal.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, so Magnus Walker brought us back saying keep Austin weird. I think I want to play this clip.
Speed City, we've got a special item coming up with Magnus.
What's that, Les?
I said, speaking of Magnus, everyone stay tuned. We've got a special item coming up with Magnus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I want to play this commercial. I want to play a commercial that NASCAR, that Fox Sports put out about NASCAR, because it was really good. They we'll play the audio here on the radio, but if you're tuning in on social, you can watch it, because it was really cool the way they referenced Austin. So if the producer's got it ready, let's do it.
This NASCAR season might just be the greatest season of all time, like ever. Right out of the gate, we get a blockbuster trilogy of Denny defending Daytona. We got Joey, Kevin, and the People's Champ that everyone is chasing. See what I did there? But it ain't all left turns. We're busting out of the Oval and taking this tour on the road. Austin's a weird place, man. There's even a throwback race on Mother's Day. There she is.
He was such a nice boy.
That mane is majestic. Speaking of history, how about we throw these two in a confined space for the entire season and see what happens? Boom! All right, just rub a little dirt on it.
I love the smell of fresh dirt in Bristol.
And then a new team from North Carolina is joining the race. But we can't forget about the all-time fan favorite.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Look, all I'm saying is this might be the best season ever.
Austin's a weird place, man. I like that.
Hey, and it's coming to Coda. Loving it.
Yep, won't be long.
It's weird.
Keeping it weird, baby. Hey, we just had somebody tweet at us, Paul Kiefer. I think he's from Austin, actually. He said, regarding the split turbo discussion, he says, how long do you think it will be before the FIA force Mercedes to reveal the plan and let everyone catch up?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, it's such a simple idea, really. I mean, you could come up with your own engineering to do it, but yeah, that's a good point. Is if they do force them to do it, that would level the playing field pretty darn quickly, I would think, or that would certainly go a long way towards it.
But that kind of defeats the whole point of Formula One, which is, you know, it's about making advances in technology and keeping it away from everybody else's car.
I mean, that's true, no doubt. I mean, I just love that. I mean, I know Les and I've talked about it for years, too much probably, but it's such a great little simple idea. But hey, Les, you're in your show doc. You got here a little news about I spent some of the company money. I tapped into the company bank account and made a purchase. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, Jonathan and I have not seen the keys. We haven't even seen the car. But it seems that Mr. Massengill took $5.94 million out of the Speed City coffers and purchased Carroll Shelby's first Shelby 427 Roadster that he built for himself.
Nice.
That 427, what makes it so unique about this car is he built it the way he would want it. And you might think it's going to be the most powerful one, the most obnoxious and everything else. Well, it actually wasn't. It was pretty tame. It was in a beautiful gray color that, depending on who you listen to, is anywhere from about 5 to 8 ever built in this color. But it's also a 427, but it never had side pipes on it as he originally built it. Well, if you follow some of the online shows, Peter Klute and his son do some fantastic builds and restorations out of Legendary. Peter got a hold of it and went through and did all the research, found out exactly what it was like originally, because throughout the lifespan of Carroll Shelby being together with this 427, he made some changes to it. He put an automatic transmission in it at one point. He just a variety
as,
of things,
as Carroll got older. Color.
And he finally went back. Like I said, Peter took it, spent approximately 3,000 hours bringing this car back to the original configuration that Shelby built it for.
Well, Les
like said nearly $6 million.
Why only $6 million? I'm thinking Carroll Shelby's personal 427 Cobra. I mean, if you had told me that was $25 million, I wouldn't have been surprised. Mm.
You know, I really have to question that as well, except for the notoriety of it being Carroll Shelby's. It didn't have any racing history. It wasn't one that was used for his team. Wasn't even necessarily a publicity car that went out, except when he first built it. And so there's not something beyond Carroll Shelby. And, you know, not that I'm saying that a Shelby GLH Dodge Omni would bring that kind of money, but
I know what that is.
Definitely something that, you know, I question this, but you know, it's, there had to be two people that thought it was worth nearly that much.
Well, I know this is a crazy amount of money for a car, but I mean, we've all seen cars go for way, way more than that. And, you know, Carroll Shelby 427 Cobra, just an iconic car, and have it being, and to me, some of the things you were talking about that maybe this wasn't the fastest, right? Or maybe it wasn't the most optioned out. but it was Carroll Shelby's personal car the way he wanted it. To me, that makes it even more valuable. I don't want the very fastest one. Now, the one thing you did say, it didn't have race history. Now, that I could easily see that why it wouldn't have brought more, but still, I was surprised, but that's cool.
You know, everybody wanted stripes on their Cobras. It was the mid-60s. You had to have them. His was solid gray, and, you know, it's a beautiful gray. I mean, I think of the cyber gray of the C7 Corvettes. Beautiful gray. It's not something that's striking and in your face, getting a lot of attention. For a 427 Cobra, this one was pretty sedate.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's going to go up, though.
Of course.
I mean, like you say, now we're getting to know it. And, I mean, I would have thought a lot of people didn't know it existed, per se. So I think that $6 million tab will probably go up to $10 million fairly quickly.
I think it's the second time it's been sold since Shelby's estate sold it. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's move back to some racing. Jonathan, you got a story in here you want to talk about. Schumacher's psychological growth. That was an interesting story.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, we've discussed a lot about a Mazepin, mostly negative, but we haven't said too much about Mick. And there's not that much known about Mick, but they do feel that he's a chip off the old block, as it were, when it comes to how he races. He's very, and so what this story was saying is that the people who are managing him, the people who are looking at him for success, like his pedigree in terms of what he's done in F3 and what he's done in F2, and that basically is a year to learn and a year to win. So he has that sort of thought process like his father, which is once he gets his head around it, then he starts winning and he wins big. Last year was a good example. He didn't start brilliantly and he was up against Callum Ilott and fellow Academy drivers. But by the second half of the season, he was win, 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 win. And you saw in the final race of the year just how aggressive he could be. But he's not overly aggressive in a car. He's not one of these young drivers that makes a lot of mistakes. Like his father, I think he is a very thoughtful driver. He looks after the equipment and doesn't push unnecessarily and also beds himself in. All of which I'm bringing up because that all bodes well for Haas. Two young drivers, they're going to be not lost, but they're going to be, you know, it's going to be a massive learning curve, a new car, a new team, a new teammates, both of them in Formula One for the first time. So I think Schumacher's approach will do Haas no harm in that he'll bring the car home, maybe in 14th to start off with, but let's hope that if that psychological and preparational view of Schumacher continues in Formula One, then by the second half of the season, he could be knocking on the points door and be fighting people like George Russell for points.
Okay, so let's talk about him as, you know, in the big picture. Like, you know, when Verstappen, and let's a couple of examples, like Verstappen and Leclerc, when they were coming up through F2, I mean, people were going, these guys are going to be future champions, right? Look how quickly Leclerc ended up at Ferrari, but you didn't see quite that level of enthusiasm for Schumacher. I mean, because he's got the name, right? So everybody wants.
I think that's the problem. If you look at it, he actually did used to race under a pseudonym when he first started.
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah, but. I think that's the problem, is that he's achieved. I mean, if you parallel his career with Lance Stroll's career, they pretty much achieved the same things, which is, you know, every championship they've been in. Now, Mick took a different route. He went to Asia. He didn't do, you know, your Formula Renaults, and he didn't, you know, he came onto F3 from a different route. But once he got to F3, he was midfield first year, champion the next, F2, midfield, champion the next. So not dissimilar to Stroll. And I think, honestly, the comparisons about the superstar that Leclerc was coming up and others that you mentioned, I think that was reserved because of the name. It's just too easy to compare him to his father. And I think people will make mistakes, especially the German media, expecting him to achieve greatness, which may or may not happen. the fact that he's even made it there under these circumstances is incredible, given what's happened to his father and given the target on his back. I mean, you know, a parallel would be Marco Andretti is finally hanging up the helmet after trying to emulate his father's and grandfather.
Yeah, good point.
And so, you know, it's never easy. It's never easy. And I think Marco's a good example. You know, the media were always on him and the expectations were always on him. And he did a pretty good job. I mean, I've seen Marco put in some great results, including a pole position at Indy. But, you know, he just wasn't Mario Andretti.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough, you know, big shoes, as they say. That's always tough. And I think Mick has got himself in a good spot, so we'll see what happens. And
yeah, the other thing to say is the clever thing about what they've done with Mick is that they've kind of shrouded him from the media. We don't know much about him because his management team was the same as Michael's. And because of the name and because of the media absolute frenzy whenever he finally did step out of the shadows, you know, everybody wanted, I mean, you know, look at Ralph's attention when he came into Formula One. So, you know, the guy's got a target on his back. I'm delighted he's at Haas. I think that's the right move for him in Formula One and he'll be able to grow there.
Yeah, I hope so too. And they've got, you know, that was their whole plan, right? They're going to have these two rookie drivers and to give them a chance to make some mistakes and grow, because Haas didn't really expect to be fighting much higher than they were last year. So why not? It's the perfect opportunity for him. I think it's not a bad idea, but guys, let's grab a break real fast, Jonathan. And what were you going to say? And we'll grab it after.
Well,
the break.
Just the other thing I've reminded you of is Jock Clear, one of the best in the business. The man that took Jack Villeneuve to his world title will be engineering Mick Schumacher.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our last break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion live from Austin, back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities. And when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky. The source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing. WindingRoadRacing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hey guys, I was looking at a story, IndyCar testing next week, starting at, it's Sebring. AJ Foyt, Carlin Racing, Chip Ganassi are going to take to Sebring Short Course on Monday to kick off the festivities. Looks like we've got Sebastian Bourdais going to be there, his teammate Dalton Kellett, and Max Chilton will also drive Monday and Tuesday. All four of Ganassi's drivers will venture out in their cars. This is a story I saw on racer.com. Scott Dixon, Marcus Erickson, newcomers Alex Powell and Jimmy Johnson. I've heard of that guy. I think he's...
I tell you what, yeah. I'm excited for Indy and NASCAR this year. Jimmy Johnson in Indy.
Yeah, I know. That's really what caught my eye about that story. But yeah, that's going to be fun. Jack Harvey is going to represent MSR. Jack Harvey said there's going to be a massive sense of relief and anticipation readying the team for the season. So we got IndyCar kicking off next week. That'll be fun too. I also want to talk about Formula One real quick, because there's just a little bitty story here, but you know how we've had the races starting at 10 minutes after the hour. It looks like, I don't think this has been finalized, but I think they may be going back to the top of the hour. And my producer just stuck his head up because he's going, wait a minute, we're going to have a change in production for our Formula One shows. So anyway, it looks like they may start
What's
at the top
the thinking
of the hour.
Behind that? Because that was a Liberty done
I know.
Thing.
Yeah.
To bring more commercial time pre-race.
You know, I think they were saying that they moved it up to give more pre-race, right? Well, in this article that I saw in Autosport, they were saying that all the television broadcasts all have pre-race shows already, so they didn't really need it. And they said that it messed up the clocks, that some of the engineers or whatever, they just didn't like it. They knew that the race started at exactly the top of the hour, and so it complicated the timing of the pit lane exits, apparently. So I don't know. That is interesting. So
well, that's just because they didn't have as good of producers as we do.
No, that's true. We have the best. We do. We do.
Well, so don't.
Can I throw in some trivia?
Yes, sir.
So okay, I didn't know this, but I do now. Did you know
Michael
that John Malone, who owns Liberty Media, is the biggest landowner in the United Bloody States? And after him comes Bill Gates.
Huh. Well, did you see that? Because I saw a news story. Bill Gates owns the most farmland in the United States.
He does.
And then the black helicopter.
That's where it was mentioned that the most land is owned by Malone, but the most farmland is owned by Bill Gates.
Alex Jones, I'm sure, is having a field day with that story about Bill Gates owning farmland. No telling what they're saying now, that he's going to plant bots in corn.
That's
as you eat it. That's terrible.
Terrible.
I hear he's growing the new software. Yeah.
That's as bad as a Charles Barkley golf swing is what that is.
Terrible.
Terrible. Yes. Hey, speaking of NASCAR, we'll be here all week. Tip your waitress. Did you know that Grammy-winning singer Pitbull has an ownership role in the Trackhouse NASCAR team this year? So not only Michael Jordan, but Pitbull is going to be a NASCAR team owner, not all by himself, but he's apparently dipping his toe into the NASCAR world.
You got to love it when Jimmy Johnson goes IndyCar racing and Michael Jordan's involved in NASCAR.
Yeah. Yep. Another little story. Did you see F1 YouTube series? It's a fascinating look behind the scenes of how Red Bull fixed Max's car. At what race was that? But it was a great video. And I'm wondering if they're going to start doing a bunch of these. You know, F1 is now finally caught up and done great on social media. But it was at the Hungarian Grand Prix, if you recall, when Max went off course before the start of the race. Remember how they got his car in? Well, there's a nice little YouTube story. We'll tweet that out. But I thought that was a cool thing.
Do you think these sorts of stories could be mini Drive to Survive vignettes sort of thing that will end up on Amazon, for example, because you know they're in talks with Amazon, so that it becomes a sort of place to go and watch, you know,
I think this is
of one or two Grand Prix.
I think this is made for YouTube. I think this particular kind of thing is perfect for YouTube because it's not an hour show. It's not even a half hour show. It's like a 7 or 8 minute video. And I think it's perfect for YouTube. But the way you know what you're saying there, I think it can achieve the exact same goal in that, you know, Drive to Survive is great. You don't even have to like or know anything about F1 to watch and enjoy that. I mean, how many people have we heard say that?
Yeah.
I think this is a little further down that path. So let's say you've got your guy who wasn't an F1 fan, started watching Drive to Survive, became an F1 fan. Now, this is a little, the next level for him, because you can get a little, you know, drama and behind the scenes kind of feel that you get from Drive to Survive. But it's, you know, it's just not a full length thing, and it's a quick in and out on YouTube. So I think that's where that would make more sense.
So Les, how old's AJ Foyt then this week?
Mr. Foyt is 86 years old.
Good man. Happy birthday, AJ.
You bet. And Larry Foyt is, his grandson. Last we spoke one of the times here in Austin, AJ Foyt's opened up a winery southwest of Austin that we'll have to go check out.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
Hey, I got another good story
for
you.
He's got a big wine vault in Indy, but he's going to have the winery here.
Very nice.
I got a good story. I saw it on F1.com. So we all think about two rookies at Haas, right? And we're thinking, yep. Man, these guys are young. This is, wow, has this ever been done before? Two rookies and how young. But really, their combined age of those guys is 44, right? So they're both going to be 22. So if you think back, Max Verstappen and Carlos Sainz back at Toro Rosso, yeah, combined age of 37. So not even close, right? So because Verstappen was 17, so not even close. And then thinking of some more like Esteban Ocon and Pascal Wehrlein at Manor, they were combined age of 40. So
what
this
about
is,
when Raikkonen came in to Sauber?
Let's see if that's on
the
list.
Who was his teammate?
Good question.
Because he was 18, 19.
I don't see him in the top 10. No, I don't see him in the top 10. But Daniel Kvyat, Carlos Sainz at Toro Rosso back in 2016, they were 43. Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris in 2019, 43 again.
You know, one thing I'm looking forward to, and I threw that question at Adam a little out of the dark, but I'm really looking forward to Sainz taking it to Leclerc.
Yeah, that's a really good thought.
I mean, he was on his game at the end of last season. I mean, it's the ultimate. I mean, you know, his father's a three-time world champion in rally. He's been around racing all his life. He's got the ultimate drive now. In many ways, I mean, most people at the end of their careers get into Ferrari. So you've got relatively two young guys, but Carlos has actually got more experience than Charles Leclerc. And if Charles Leclerc's got any weaknesses, he can make mistakes. He's fast, yeah, no question.
Yeah.
But Sainz to me is the more polished package. And if the cars are identical, you could see those two going head to head every week.
Yeah, that'd be a great one to watch, and I want to watch it too because I want to see – that'll give me a little measuring stick for Lando Norris too, right? I mean, because Lando gave Carlos Sainz everything he could ask for, right? I think they – didn't they end up both with the same number of qualifying? And I don't remember –
19 to 18 over the 2 years to Lando.
To Lando, okay. I would have guessed one or two over for Carlos Sainz.
That's amazing when you think about it. 19 to 18, that's nothing.
Yeah. And Les, what were you saying about Sainz on the chat? You said his...
Yeah, well, you got to remember, Sainz is second generation. He's got dad who has had, you know, has been in the paddock all his life, getting kind of the lay of the land, the culture of the racing world, and seeing this even, I mean, from young. So
And by the way, dad's still racing at the Dakar.
Dad's not done yet.
You know what, guys? We didn't talk at all. We've gone the whole show, and my number one story that I put on here was Charles Leclerc tested positive for COVID-19. Did we not talk about that last? That was this week, wasn't it?
No. I guess it all blurs into one in the middle of a pandemic.
I know.
Yes,
yeah,
let's hope
really
he's okay.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Adam talked about the F1 virtual Grand Prix is going to happen again, and F1 tweeted out a little video of Charles Leclerc on Twitch, right? And he was talking about this year. So it was, and they had just said that they had released it. So he was obviously, you know, in the last few days. So he's obviously doing it good enough to jump on Twitch and have some fun. So, I mean, you know, how COVID is with young people, it's typically pretty mild. So, and they did say that he was experiencing mild symptoms. So I'm sure he'll be fine. But
so is that the fourth driver?
Yeah, we touched on this last week. That's why I was thinking that.
Yeah. So Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez.
Perez was first, right?
And then Lewis.
Lance Stroll.
Lance Stroll. And now
we're missing one. We're missing one. Who wasn't there one just recently? God, we're getting old, guys. I was thinking we're missing one, but yeah, I mean, honestly,
I think the pandemic's getting old. Not that it's any less serious.
Yeah, but that does make. I think I saw somebody. I think it was Chris Medlin tweeted out something like that. We're up to like 25% of the grid. So I mean, yeah, we talked about earlier in the year. We talked about the NBA having a really bad go of it with COVID, but I mean, 25% of the drivers. Now, that's nothing compared to all the backup crew and everybody else in Formula One. So I think we have to say Formula One did a great job. So I'm not going to complain there, but well, guys, we're down to a minute. I want to make sure everybody knows. Thank everybody for tuning in here in Austin and anybody online. I'll thank Adam for calling in but want to make sure everybody knows we're going to be doing the Formula One pre-race and post-race national radio shows once again this year, along with our Sunday night show all year long. We're going to be adding some more content. We're going to be adding some additional podcasts in 2021. So stay tuned for all of that. And of course, go to our website to find out where to listen and find all the additional content. We do throw stuff up on our SoundCloud account that sometimes never makes it to the shows. So speedcitybroadcast.com. Check out all of that. What I missed, Jonathan? Hey.
I was about to say, for all of you listening, send us some questions, send us some topics, tweet us, let us know what you want to talk about, and we'll discuss it, and you don't have to call in if you don't want to, but we'll more than happily discuss whatever's your burning desire.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Happy trails.
Oh, y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.